Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, just going to share a little while. I would like us to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Amen. 1 Timothy 4. Yeah, I want to talk to you this morning about getting wisdom from the Word. And how that's our number one source of wisdom. Amen. Not the world. And not your own self. You can convince yourself anything's God if you want it bad enough. Yep. We're all that way, right? We can talk ourselves into it. Oh, I think God's telling me. Amen. But, you know, one thing about the Word is it keeps you balanced, you see. If you fill yourself with the Word, the Bible says that it'll divide between the soul and the spirit. What's of the soul, that's your natural desires, your feelings, your intellect, and what's of the spirit. And I like to say this, I've said this over the years, you know, emotional decisions. Anybody ever made any of them before? Right? Maybe you bought something and you're like, you kind of knew you probably shouldn't, but you wanted it. So you bought it. And then the emotions wore down. Come on. I've never gone into a pet store and saw a puppy I didn't want. You know, I'm an animal guy kind of, but I can't really have them because of my lifestyle. It's not going to work good. First of all, I've got a wife. Secondly, we've just gone too much for it to be right. So, but boy, if I wasn't and I lived out in the country and I had me an outbuilding, man, I'd heat that thing, air condition it, and have me every kind of dog, cat, whatever I wanted running around. Amen. Because I like them. But you know, but how many don't raise your hand? How many have ever got a puppy and then said, I got to get rid of this thing? I said, don't raise your hand. You're trying to raise my hand. It's happened. But I made sure it got a good home. Amen. But yeah, it's like the emotions. Something about 5:36 in the morning, when it wants to go out to the bathroom, it's not so much fun any longer. You know, so we have to know that the Word of God is our source of wisdom. Now, I've just made up a rule in my life. You do what you feel is best with your life. But I've just made up a rule in my life. I never let what the world says be final authority. Never. Because Paul said the wisdom of this world is foolishness compared to God. He even said, God, the foolishness of God, if God had any foolishness. You understand he's using hyperbole there in 1 Corinthians. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, the wisest man. If God had any foolishness, which he doesn't, but if he did, it'd be wiser than the wisest men. I get amused, maybe that's not the word. I feel for them. Some of the scientists that say that, you know, they look at the universe and say, that there is no God. And I'm thinking, you know, you're going about to find out that you professing yourself wise have become a fool. Because the Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Amen. So, you know, just because you're wise seemingly in the world, that's worldly wisdom. Godly wisdom is a different thing. Amen. A wise person builds their house on the Word. Amen. Yes. All right. Now I want to look at a scripture here in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:1. We'll start here, and I don't know if we'll look at any other or not, but we'll look at this one for sure. 1 Timothy 4:1. Paul said, and this is the King James Version says, now the Spirit, he speaks expressly, or it means he's outspoken about it. He's distinct about it. In other words, he puts strong emphasis on this. So this is important, isn't it? Yeah. You know, if the Spirit just said something, how many know it's important? But when it says he's speaking expressly, all right, that in the latter times, which means the very, very end, the time that you and I are living in, some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So Paul talks about a day and a time when people are going to drift from the Word of God. They're going to drift from the wisdom of the Bible. Now, how many know the more we drift from the Word, the more demonic we're going to have? And he said they will actually start listening to, giving heed to, listening to, seducing, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So in the last days, Paul said there's going to be people that will listen to demons instead of the Bible. Well, I think that if you got any discernment about you, you have to say we're there right now. I mean, some of the things today, they're not just wrong, they're delusional. It's delusional to think some of the things that people that are in high public office think today. It's just delusional. It makes no sense. Amen. Just in the natural, it makes no sense. But we see that. We're at that place. Why? Well, doctrines of demons. Amen. Deceiving spirits instead of listening to the Word. So the more we drift from God's Word, the more the demonic comes into play.
Right.
See? And so, you know, it's that way. How many know it's that way in our life? That the less we listen to the Word, the more opportunity we give to the devil
right.
in our life.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Now, y'all know that sometimes sometimes the Word tells you to do things that you might not want to do. Is anybody out there this morning? If you don't ever run anything into the Bible that rubs your flesh the wrong way, you're what I call a favorite word person. What is that? You only read the favorite parts that you like. You don't read the whole counsel of God. Because you're going to run into some things sometimes that the Bible's going to talk to you about that you're not going to, One guy wrote a book years ago. He said, the truth will make you free, but it'll make you miserable first. And that sometimes is the truth, isn't it? In other words, we have to, our flesh doesn't want to do everything that we're supposed to do. And even Paul had that issue because he said, I have to keep my body under lest it disqualify me. It doesn't want to do things sometimes it should do. It doesn't want to. Mine didn't want to get up this morning. It really didn't. But I'm here. Well, yeah, but you're the pastor. Are you kidding me? I got enough people to preach in this house. All I got to do is make a phone call. And say, I'm just not going to make it today. I've got a problem with my Heavenly Father when I do that. When I don't show up to do what He said to do. Amen. So I didn't listen to that. You can tell I didn't listen to it. I wanted to. I kept looking at the clock and thinking, go away. Amen. Let's have a supernatural reversal of time. Hezekiah and the sundial. Let's have a Hezekiah moment here. Give me some more hours here. But you can't let your flesh do what it wants to do, and you can't let it not do what it should do. Does that make sense to you? So we're seeing this time that we're entering into a time right now where we're already there, where the world is getting, if I can say it this way, they're getting dumber and dumber. I didn't think we'd get any dumber than what we were 30 years ago, but I'm surprised. We have gotten dumber. And I now realize we can even get dumber. But we don't have to as believers because we got a book with all the answers in it. Amen. It's like I've said before, if we could just find a book somewhere that told us the will of God, wouldn't we be happy? How many know you got one with you today? Amen. So we see this. Now, even Solomon, he said the principal thing's wisdom. That's the principal thing. Let me see, Pastor Jerry was talking about that this morning. See, right now in our society, we're suffering from a wisdom deficiency. Would you agree with that? Why are we? Because we've gone. Because society as a whole has drifted from God's Word. Now, even though people years ago might not have been saved, they still were lining up somewhat with the Word of God in their thinking and in their actions. But now, instead of listening to the Word, they're listening to, as Paul said, would happen, doctrines of demons. Amen? Now, which is why I believe, this is just my opinion, a day with the Lord's 1,000 years is a day. So, you know, when God says He's going to do something fast, sometime it seemed like mighty slow to me. But it's fast to Him, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you count time the way He counts it, you know. I've heard God give me words, and I thought, oh, man, that's tomorrow. Like, no, that might be 20, 30 years from now. But it's not even tomorrow to God. But why we're saying what we're saying? Because the Bible says that before the Antichrist is revealed, there will be a great falling away. People will turn from the faith. And I don't think that just means, it does mean Christians, but I think it has a generalization too, where it means the whole societies would start turning from God, from the Bible, from the Word, and start listening to demons. And they would actually this may sound a little rough, but actually this morning there's churches throughout in our city where now demons are getting up and teaching the people. I don't mean the person behind the pulpit's a demon, but their doctrine is from the devil. Right? And that could be a lot of different things, you know, in a lot of different ways. That's why we need to know the Word. How many know if you know the Word, you can't be deceived? You got to just read the Bible and know the Word. Now, look at Joshua chapter 3. Let's go there. Because it's real important that we make sure that we get our wisdom from the Word in these days that we're living in. That what does the Word have to say about it? You know, this book covers about everything you can think of. Amen. It covers it all. You know, there's individual things in our lives like what house to buy, what job to take. You know, maybe it doesn't deal with that, but the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit will lead you. Amen. And so it gives us an answer about it. It doesn't tell us which one, but it'll tell us you can be led by the Spirit. Right. Amen. You know, sometimes we just, how does the Spirit lead us? Well, you know, most of the time, just by what we call an inward witness, where we just feel right about something. Amen. And I'm talking about feeling right deep down inside. There's a big difference, isn't there? Between feeling right up here in the head and feeling right up here in the heart. Amen. You gotta know there's even though that's what, 18 inches, 12, something like that, it's a big jump in the spirit realm. Right. Amen. You can't just go by this, you got to go by that. Amen. All right, now let's look here in Joshua chapter 3, and I want to read a few verses here. This is talking about the children of Israel after they come out of Egypt. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And the Bible says, in Joshua, in verse 1, rose early in the morning, and he removed from Shittim, and you got to say that word fast, and came to Jordan. That's the name of the city, I'm sorry. Some translations say Acacia Grove or something like that, because that's what it was too. But the King James gets a little salty with us sometimes. But anyway, and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, now this is what I want to get to. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, that you come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. So Joshua told them, he said, here's what we're going to do. The priests, the Levites, are going to bear the Ark of the Covenant, and you're going to follow it. Now back up away so you can see it, because you want to follow it wherever it goes. Well, the Ark of the Covenant, of course, can be a type of a lot of things, but it also is a type of the Word of God. It had the tables of the Ten Commandments inside of it, the covenant. So Joshua is simply telling them, in our day, we would say it like this, that we're to follow the Word. We're to follow the Word. It's to lead us. And your pastor, which if this is your church, would be me. I'm supposed to bear the Ark of the Covenant on Sunday morning. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm not supposed to bear Reader's Digest. I'm not just supposed to pump you up and give you feel-good sermons. I'm supposed to bear the Word of the Lord, which, it'll encourage, it'll strengthen, but it'll also correct and direct. It'll rebuke sometimes. But I'm to bear the Word of the Lord. And you're to come to church for this purpose. You're to come to get wisdom from the Word of God. You're out there in the world all week long. And you're hearing all of that stuff. You need to come into a place where you hear truth. Amen. Amen. And not just... You know, the world's right about some things. Now, you got to hear the way I said it. I said, I don't take their word as final authority on anything. I make sure it's in line with the Word. Word's final authority. Well, they may be right, you know, but I've got to make sure it doesn't cross God's Word. Amen. They may tell me, and I've heard this, they may tell me, don't give any of your money away. You need it all. Sounds reasonable, sounds sensible. But here's the thing. The Bible says something different. Tells me to sow. Amen. See, I heard a guy teaching this, and most of what he taught was right. Most of it was good. And he was a financial guy, and I respect him and all. He's trying to help people. And he gives them mostly good advice. But he told them, he said, now, if you're in debt, don't be giving money. You use that money to pay your debt off. And I thought, that's a dumb thing to do, because you're going to cut God out of your harvest. I want supernatural help. I don't just want to see what I can put together. See, you know, Pastor Jerry's talking about that, how dumb he was. He's come a little ways, hasn't he? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you understand. Help me understand what I'm talking about. You don't take the world's... As y'all get something on, maybe we're just having a little heart-to-heart talk here this morning, but that's all right. You don't just take the world's advice on just anything and just go with that without running it by the Word. Amen. Amen. Because they'll counsel you things that, you know, doesn't line up with the Word. So I'm going to find out what God said about it. Because, you know, He talks about all kinds of things in here, doesn't He? All kinds of things. Proverbs is full of wisdom. Amen. So we see right here now, that ark, they stayed back so they could follow the ark. Remember what, let me say this. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Could you imagine how blessed our lives would be if we actually did that? If we actually lived by every word that came out of the mouth of God? Instead of our favorite word? You know, people got their, maybe you got your favorite scripture, and that's fine. You put it on your refrigerator and so forth. Well, I have yet to see on anybody's refrigerator in over 45 years or whatever it's been, I've yet to see anybody have this scripture on their refrigerator, through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom of God. Nobody. I don't have it on mine. But it's in the Bible, right? So what does that mean? Well, we're going to have, if you're going to live for God, you're going to get tribulated. If you're going to live strong enough for Him. Amen. If you're a threat, The devil's going to try to tribulate you. All right? But thank God we got the victory. Hallelujah. So, you know, we can't just be favorite word people. I've asked this before. When you want to remember something, why do you put it on your refrigerator? Why? Because you know you're going there. You know, nobody puts reminders in their Bible. It's in their, on their refrigerator because they know, bless God, I'm going there, that's for sure. We're having some fun with you. But what did Jesus say? What he talked about, he said, talk about two people building a house. Now, I've seen this over the years. People that, he said, one hears the word, one does the word. One hears the word, and he doesn't do the word. One's house stands when the storm hits. One house falls when the storm hits. And he said, those that do the word, my sayings, he said, they're a wise man. They're like a wise man. Those that don't are like a foolish person. Now, the interesting thing when you look at that parable, they're both hearing God's word. So it isn't like they're avoiding the word. They're hearing the word, but one does it and one doesn't do it. Now, I have seen that as I've been, like I said, I've been pastoring a long time, just in this church, but I was associate pastor before this church for a few years too. So I've been at this and been preaching for many, many years, and I've seen over the years you get people that they're good people, but they come, they sit, listen to you every Sunday, but they don't ever do much of it. And the thing of it is you don't really notice it until a storm hits. And when the storm hits, they have problems. Amen. Because God's word's a sure foundation. It'll keep you strong when the storm hits. Because storms are going to hit, but you can stay strong. Amen. I tell you why, I preached this years ago. Pastor told me, he said, man, that's the best title of any message I ever heard. I said, well, I hope the message is as good. We pulled the title off, going through the storm without the storm going through you. You know, Jesus and his disciples, they were all in a storm, right? Yeah. But the storm wasn't in Jesus. He was asleep. Right. If you can sleep through a storm, it's not bothering you much. You're in a boat, and the disciples are freaking out. I don't ever thought about that. That is supernatural sleep. He's asleep during a storm. The boat's filling up with water. They have to wake him up and ask him one of the dumbest questions. Master, don't you care we're perishing? What did they expect him to say? No, not really. But he gets up, and what does he do? He gets in the bow of the boat. He says, peace be still. What did he do? How many of you can't give what you don't have? Let's say it bad English. You, Dr. Anna's not here. Let's say it bad English. You can't give what you don't got. She corrects Mark for his bad English all the time. How many know you got to? He had to have peace in him, right? Yeah. So he's going through this. So here's the thing. The storm, they're all going through a storm, but the storm is in the disciples, and it's not in Jesus. Amen. Only the word can give you that kind of strong foundation, that when the storm does hit, it doesn't shake your house. But I see that. I see that over and over again where it's like people that, you know, they love the Lord. They're not bad people, but they're just not doing it. They're just, the Bible says you got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. You're deceived yourself. You got to receive with meekness, the Bible said. The engrafted or implanted word, which is able to save your souls. It gets implanted in you. How many of you got to be meek about it? Amen. You got to admit, I could be wrong. Right? I'm still learning. How about you? Now, let's close out. I want you to go to Proverbs. Did you get anything this morning? Yeah. Proverbs 8. I want to close out with this. Proverbs chapter 8. Just a little talk this morning. A little talk with Jesus. Yeah. Proverbs 8. That's good. You know, the advice that God gave Joshua is still good today. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate therein day and night, that you may observe, now notice this, to do Everybody say do. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. God told us His word is the key to good success. It gives you wisdom. It gives you wisdom. See, that's why I judge everything by the word of God. You know, guy, I've had all kinds of questions asked me over the years, and I'm always glad to answer questions, but boy, some of them, you just like shake your head. One guy came to me one time to see me, and he said, well, why can't I have more than one wife? There you go. You don't want more than one. You can't handle one you got right now. Yeah, he came to me to see me. Why can't I have... Solomon had more than one wife. Well, didn't he? David had more than one wife. Why can't I have more than one wife? Because if you go back to the Word, God took a rib out of Adam and made Eve. He didn't take a rack of ribs out. All right? One. You understand that? You find out where this started from. It didn't start from God. A guy by the name of Lamech decided, I'm going to have a couple of these things. You know what? You know what the Bible says? When you find a wife, you find a... And? Anybody know the rest of that verse? Obtain favor from the Lord. A pastor said, I was preaching on that one service. This is true, hon. The pastor was preaching on that one service. This guy stood up and said, tell the Lord not to do me any more favors. Really, seriously. I could tell you the pastor's name, but I won't. Some of you would know him. Don't do me any more favors. All right. But have me know. Look, I said, God never gave anybody permission to have more than one wife. What you read in Acts, the Bible says the things that people did in the Old Testament, God winked at. Because why? They couldn't change their hearts. Grace wasn't available. Jesus had the grace, the salvation grace was not available, let's say that. It wasn't available. God's goodness was there. So God winked at that. It doesn't mean He approved of it or He wanted that. That's not the way He started that, right? Right. Amen. Yes. No, I've had all kinds of questions about things. Well, what about marijuana? The Bible says that God made everything and He said it's good. Well, let me just say some things to you about that. God doesn't want you to alter your brain. He didn't want you. It ought to be, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. How many know that? And you shouldn't put in things that will damage it, alter it, or make it do dumb things. Don't tell me you don't do dumb things when you get under influence. I've been under influence before Christ many, many times. You do dumb things. You do stupid things. You lose restraint. That's not God. Amen. You can do what you want to with it, but you'll have to talk to Him about it. And He's not, you know. Yeah, sure, He made everything, but He didn't mean for you to ingest everything. He made spiders, but don't eat them. I mean, people eat the craziest things now. You know, there's this one fish that you eat. I think it's called a puffer fish or a blowfish or something. Is that, what's it called? Blowfish. And if they don't cook it right, it kills you. And you got to pay a lot of money for this experience. And if you get a chef that does it, you know, if your wife goes out and throws it on the grill and barbecue, oh, this will be good, hon. This will be fine. What could go wrong? We got a place to go, man. It's going to be your funeral. You ate yourself to death. Right? Now, you know, I don't believe you have to be rigid about things, but you got to use some common sense just in your diet, because the Word gives us some common sense. You know, New Testament, now you can believe what you want, but New Testament, Christ cleaned it all up. Every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused. But you got to understand, not everything out there is a creature of God. Some of it, we put together by chemicals. You know, when you're enjoying your favorite snack, you're enjoying some really good tasting chemicals. Sorry. But, you know, I don't want to ruin it for you. But your body is built. God built your body in a way to filter out things, of course. So, but if you overdo it, you overload your body. So just be smart. Like the Lord told me, just be moderate in things. Use your faith when you eat it. I've eaten raccoon. It didn't kill me. Barbecue it. No, Miss Phyllis didn't fix it for me. Some guy did one time. But you understand, I did that just as a joke, as an experiment. I wouldn't live off of that. But anyway, my point in all this is I want you to find Proverbs 8. I told you it's just a little talk with Jesus today. Proverbs 8, we'll close right here. Look at this, Proverbs 8. The Bible says, blessed is a man that hears me watching daily. This is wisdom talking here. If you read the whole proverb, wisdom talking, watching daily. Everybody say daily. At my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. All right, so if we find wisdom, we obtain favor of the Lord, we obtain life. But he that sins against me, you wrong your own soul, and all they that hate me love death. So he's just letting us know if we reject God's wisdom, we're hurting ourselves, right? It can bring death into your life. Now maybe not just physical death, but spiritual death. But I wanted to close with this. He said that we're to watch daily. Daily. Why? How many know we need wisdom every day, right? Daily. Now I figured this up. If you spent 15 minutes a day reading the Word, studying the Word, in 1 year, you would have spent 91 hours. How many think that 91 hours of instruction from God could change your life?
Yes, amen.
Amen. 91 hours. Now, we don't think... You know, sometimes people think funny when it comes to spiritual things. Well, you know, it's like, well, that's a long time. 15 minutes? What if I told you, if you'll just watch TV for 15 minutes a day, it'll revolutionize your life. You probably wouldn't have a problem with that, right? Like 15 minutes, I want 15 hours. You understand, it's the devil that doesn't want you spending 15 minutes a day in God's Word. He doesn't care if you watch TV for 15 hours. Amen. So, but just think about it. 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, and you get 91 hours of instruction from God? I'll take 91 hours sitting down listening to God. That changed your life. And of course, you know, once you get into the Word, you'll spend more than 15 minutes. But if you start there, man, you got life-changing experience coming, do you? You start there, you read it, you believe it, and you do it, and it'll change your life. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll change your life. Because why? Because God knows more about everything than anybody else knows. Amen. Brother Osteen, John, the older Osteen, used to be one of his sayings was, this is what I've learned. God is smarter than John. He's smarter than all of us. Amen. All right. Thank God that we and I can get our wisdom from the Word and not just the world. Everything the world tells me, even in medical stuff, I don't reject what they say, but I run it by the Word of God. It's like when I got that, and it wasn't nothing serious. Let me just say that here. But I had an issue, and the doctor said, well, it's incurable. But when he said that to me, the first thing I thought is, I don't know anything incurable. Everything I know of has to bow to the name of Jesus. Every name, every knee. Now, I didn't rebuke him and say, you got it wrong. He told me what I paid him to tell me is what he found in the natural. That's what he found in the natural. He told me what the natural could do about it. I understand I got somebody working on my case. Hallelujah. And so I don't have to take that as final authority. I didn't rebuke him. I didn't correct him. I didn't say, you know, you missed it there, doc. No, I just thanked him. Appreciate your diagnosis and all that. That's, you know, I appreciate that. But look, I know a God. I have a healer. I have another doctor working on my case. His name is Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. And he has never lost a case yet. Amen. Growing up, younger guy, remember Marcus Welby, MD? Anybody else not remember that show? Marcus Welby. My mom liked to watch doctor shows. And she used to, before she got saved, watch the soap operas and stuff, you know. And all. And so she liked to watch that show, Marcus Welby. And I would watch it too, you know, because what else are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? In my day, you didn't have a computer. You didn't have a phone. You understand? You didn't have an iPad. You didn't have a Super Mario. You had four walls. You got a book or watched TV. Or rode your bike. That's our, you know what I'm saying? So I watched Marcus Welby. And all the time I watched Marcus Welby, only one person died on him. One. In all those years. This guy was good. Hallelujah. But there's one even better. His name is Jehovah Rapha. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.